That's why Obama lost the vote.
How do we sound, Joe Swam?
Let's rock and roll.
Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish.
Go vote.
Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution.
Podcastawards.com.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody. Go vote.
You know Heather from the Facebooks on the intertubes and from her ferocious vocals at Monday Night Tees at Three Clubs in Hollywood.
Podcastawards.com.
You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to the ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now and go vote.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free and write a review. Help us get in the top 10 or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Podcastawards.com.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want because we're not hypocrites. Go vote.
And rule number two, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you legitimate rapists in the studio tonight. We have Ken Sands, Maurice Northup, and Brady Leonardos. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you got it right.
How did I do it? You know these guys from showbiz. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Great to meet you.
Great to be here.
Now, you want to get yourself all the way up into that microphone.
Right into that mic.
And you want to talk into it, not above it. There you go.
Okay.
Can you hear yourself now?
Yeah, I can.
Brady's got a great voice.
Hello.
He does.
Use that voice.
We got voice here.
I brought my radio voice.
You know, I don't know how you're not just... Maurice Northup is a guy of voices. I mean...
I like to do accents and characters and stuff like that.
It's really awesome. I learned to do Walken from Maurice. Wow. Absolutely learned to do.
Walken's just one of many impressions I can do for you.
It's amazing.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's very good. These boots were made, they were made for me.
Yeah, these boots are custom made. They were made
nice.
For me. Kicking the shit out of people don't pay. The bills.
So, and Ken, you were on, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
With my old friend Brad Stein.
Very cool.
From the We Can Make
Brad
It.
Brad and I are really good friends, man.
And,
good guy.
How's Brad doing?
He's doing good, man.
Good, good.
He's doing really good. He's on tour right now. He's all over the place, so.
Cool. So, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. And introduce us to your friend, Brady Leonardos.
Yes, Leonardos. That's okay. Right.
Leonardos.
You did better than most people.
It's an easy one to screw up, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Put an extra Leonardos or something like that. And
Leonardo.
Yeah.
Buon nome Italian.
More sexy than you are? Is that the problem?
Oh, yeah.
You speak in Italian?
Definitely more sexy.
Yeah.
You speak in Italian?
No, I don't.
Nobody's
I'm not Italian. I'm
what
not
are you, Brady? What exactly what are
what
you?
What are you?
It's Greek. Greek.
Leonardos.
Yeah, but I'm French.
I
but
see.
That's okay.
What the?
Well, now I'm confused.
All mixed up in here.
Let's not go into it. It's too big of a story. It's much too big of a story.
So you come to us by way of something called unapologetics.
Yes, I guess so.
Tell us about this.
Well, what I mean, I'm unapologetic about being a Christian.
I see.
You know, that's the whole thing there.
I like that wordplay.
Yeah. You know, you can go this way or you can go that way or any way you like. But
that's I do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
We've heard, Emery.
Yeah, listen to your last thing there. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your hospitality, by the way.
Oh, please.
Very nice.
No,
welcome.
No, welcome,
so
welcome. It's I hope it's not a frightful place. But we have a lot of crap in this
don't
house.
Don't look right there.
Everybody freaks out by the knives.
I don't know.
It's very the knives
Dexter.
Are awesome.
It's very Dexter.
It is Dexter. That's and that was given to me by Paul Provenza.
It's nice to see it right above the death thing. We've got the Pope.
Yes.
And the Virgin Mary.
He's forgiving the artist for killing the clay.
Sometimes people bring us religious relics. And those are... those, though, didn't we?
Those are nice.
I think we bought the Pope, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you get enough, you can start collecting indulgences, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, and Ken, thank you for being back.
I'm glad to be here. I brought my rubber thumb. I'm ready to go.
Nice. Ken does magic.
He came to give you the finger.
Did I just do a big new... I'm not supposed to expose a rubber thumb as a magician, right?
In theory, you're not supposed to.
I just gave away the rubber thumb.
You
Brady.
Just did.
On my,
on my burlesque show...
250,000 people.
In my burlesque show, the Halloween one, we had a great great trick that was done with the thumb, and it was with a zombie who she took off. He's like, take off your thumb, take out the stitches and take off your thumb and put the red cloth inside.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Sure.
And the zombie takes her thumb off and she's like,
that's awesome. It's
pretty, pretty,
that's
really, awesome. Really good. It's on camera. I'm going
to
get
I don't think you're committed to magic unless you've had the tip of your thumb surgically removed.
Yeah.
That's truly committing to the bit.
I had a friend of mine. We're working a show together. He's doing his show, and this kid right in the middle of my friend's set sees that my friend's got a thumb tip on. Little kid yells at the top of his lungs, you've got a fake thumb! And just unloads on my friend, man.
Oh,
my
no.
Friend, my friend was great. He's an actor. He's a performer. Looks at the guy on perfect pause. Says,
that kid's going to be headlining a comedy club in about 10 years.
What did he say?
He looks at the kid and goes, do I make fun of your handicaps?
Oh,
it was awesome.
They need to make those thumbs a little bit more realistic, I think.
Well, the key
there's
to
actually
the thumb,
qualities
there are different qualities.
Flesh tone. You get the cheap plastic ones.
They're not supposed to see it anyway, man. That's yeah. You do it right. They don't see it.
The trick is to aim the thumb at the audience, not
in
sideways.
A very natural position.
Yeah, very natural. Right, and keep your hand in a way that you're looking down the tip of the thumb. As opposed to the side.
I don't know. It looks like you got some
wow.
kind of
we're doing
weird,
magic tips on
weird
the
colored
Mathis
thing.
Show.
Well,
there we go.
I use that technique in the bedroom.
Oh,
I see.
Do you do magic too, Brady?
Oh, yeah. I was a professional magician for like 12 years.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Loved
okay.
it. Love performing, especially close-up. That's where the fun is.
Yeah.
It's in close-up where you're seeing the people's reactions and they're laughing and they're amazed and they're loving it. And you form a relationship with the people. And that's the best part.
It's beautiful, man. Yeah.
So you guys get to the Magic Castle,
it's
then.
One of the great appeals of stand-up. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know immediately whether you suck. And you know immediately.
Absolutely.
So you guys get to the Magic Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and I'm going to remind Brady, because he didn't get to get told before we started the show.
Okay.
You need to be really close
really
to that mic.
Close,
yeah. When you start moving around, we lose you.
Okay, gotcha.
It's got a really tight record pattern. That's... There
thank
you go,
Brady. Yeah. Thank you. Beautiful nice. Sound. That was a bong rip, everybody. He doesn't have the camera. He was hitting the bong right there.
Bong rip.
And it's shaking, not stirred.
It's shaking, not shaking. No, you don't want to shake your bong water, bro. You're going to shake your clothes.
Get in trouble like that, yeah.
So tell us about your website.
Oh, the Ultimate Christian Apologetic website. It's basically a website that has a lot of different links to articles by different Christian philosophers dealing with different issues. And it goes over history. It goes over science. A lot of different things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just different positions and opinions and arguments.
Okay.
Geared at helping Christians share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
How are you guys feeling about the election?
That was unexpected, wasn't it? That was out of
where's the
left.
Segue there? I don't see that.
There are no segues.
Need I say anything else?
Well, I mean,
I wasn't happy about it. You know, I'm a conservative. I'm not afraid to admit I'm a Christian or a conservative.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Not afraid to admit is something that you've said a couple times already tonight.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there are Christians out there who are afraid to admit what they believe and how they feel?
I think there's in virtually every position, there's people who are afraid to admit how they feel and what they believe. Atheists included, Hindus, you know, Mormons, sometimes like that too. But I think everybody is.
Why do you think that is, though?
I think it's a human condition.
You know any atheist politicians? Can you name one?
There are none.
No, I don't. No,
but actually, we got one. But
We got a.
But
even I
can't remember the name.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe Swam.
Yeah.
I just
an open atheist.
It is. It's an interesting observation that he's made.
I would say Barack Obama, but I don't know.
I would too.
No, I would.
I would
thank
too.
Thank you.
He doesn't agree with me.
No, you're wrong.
Speech he gave about religion.
Know he's been in church.
Well, that
doesn't mean
ever. Number one. Number two. More mentions. Of God than Bush in his addresses.
That doesn't mean he believes it. That just means that he's pandering to the majority of the people that
do
are...
Do you really think that about him?
Yes.
I don't know.
That makes him awful to me.
Well,
it makes
he wants
him a politician.
To be president.
I think it's awful he's bombing people with Predator drones. You know, you can think a lot of things about whatever president, whether you support one candidate over another or whatever, but I think that the idea of a Christian being afraid or having to not apologize for who they are in this culture Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe in Saudi Arabia you could make that case. Yeah. But in America, it's preposterous. I mean, you know, I think that that Obama is probably, I mean, he's certainly smart enough to have reasoned out that, that religion is, you know, obviously a, you know, mythological fiction from the Iron Age. But, yeah, it's politically expedient to you know, not challenge. I mean, I we were talking about this earlier. I'm a comic. I right now I'm doing this tour of atheist shows, and we're tailoring our audience, you know, to people that are skeptics and rational thinkers, people that don't believe in UFOs and Sasquatches and stuff like that, and religions in there as well. I have yet to be heckled. I have yet to be heckled. Because
it's a really, really intelligent.
I've never had an atheist stand up when somebody's talking about a bit like, hey, you ever go to church and they're making you kneel and stand and it's like doing aerobics in there. I've never heard somebody go, hey,
that's funny.
I don't believe in God and your religious material offends me. I've never heard that. They just sit there and go, yeah, I guess it is kind of weird to do aerobics.
Pete Stark is the name.
Who? Pete Stark. That's right. Pete Stark. Nicely done.
Thanks,
Heather,
Joe.
Heather is doing her job.
I'm trying. But it's Joe doing the job.
Your job is to report what Joe does.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Do you want to be heckled? That's my question.
No. Not. It depends on the show, frankly.
Okay.
If I'm backstage and I'm watching a heckler work on other comics and interrupt their show, then I'm like a dog on a leash. Yeah. I absolutely want that piece of shit to heckle
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to put him down. I learned from this guy how to handle heckler. You're still the king. I've never seen anybody handle hecklers as mercilessly and as deftly as you do. I mean, Emery really was, I mean,
nice. Amazing.
Those days are behind me now.
And he was good.
Now so I do a podcast with the nice people that come and they try to convince us there's a God.
Well, you know, I used to own a comedy club, so I did it from the other side. I produced shows for a long time.
Oh, nice,
yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of great guys coming through, man. It was good.
Yeah.
It was
cool. And from a club owner's perspective, having an atheist audience is outstanding. Well, first of all, they tend to be affluent. So they've got disposable income. They're going to buy.
Yes, because Christians
buy the
are very
drink.
Poor people.
Well, they're a more rural demographic. I mean, if you look at the red states and blue states, you know, most of the atheists tend to be in urban areas. You know, they tend to be college educated, but they tend to be more affluent. And they don't wreck the place. They don't get all liquored up on a Sunday night. You know, most of your GIs and stuff. When you have like military nights, those guys get liquored up. Man, they'll get crazy.
So, do you think that was a fallacy, Brady? That smarter people are Christians? Smarter people are not Christians.
Smart people are not Christians. Maybe a genetic fallacy.
Well, don't twist what I said. I said there's a tendency amongst atheists to be more affluent and to come from a more educated.
Well, there's science.
But don't flip that around to something I didn't say. That's
yeah, he didn't say smarter.
I'll be cool.
The science is that you have a higher likelihood of believing in a religion, holding a religious belief, the less educated you are. That's scientific, and it's a curve. The science shows. So
the science shows.
Well,
I mean,
we're not saying that
we
you're
have statistics. People that self-identify as Christians, people that self-identify as atheists, you know, they tend to fit in certain demographics, and
they
study this stuff for elections and stuff when they're trying to reach different demographics. Now the Latinos are the big thing, but we atheists, whether we like it or not, are a demographic. And I, as a performance artist, I'm trying to find those people that want to hear my voice. You know?
I also suspect it's going to change. Does it? It seems to bother you what I just said, Brady? Did it?
Which part of it?
I'm sorry. Well, the idea that there's a science shows us that there's a curve of education that correlates with belief and non-belief.
I'm not sure I understand what that means, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I really don't. If you're saying that if we poll 150 people and let's say we can find a 50-50 blend, because you know that the atheist population of the world is very small compared to the religious population of the world.
Absolutely.
So if you just took 10 people off the street and said, you know, are you religious and are you college educated, more likely than not, given those 10 people we pulled off the street, more of them are going to say that they have some religious affiliation than those who say they're atheists. And
that's not how they do the kinds
of I understand that, and that's why I'm saying I don't know how the thing is. We just got done talking about polls, right?
Yeah.
3.5-4 months here.
Well, right. You're stipulating that it's, you know, deceptive data.
It might be. I don't know. I haven't seen the data. I haven't seen their methodology. You know, it's just like what they talk about on the talk shows about politics. You just don't know. But you know, I can go with that. I cannot go with that. It doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Because what matters is not how many people say something and and what education level they
is that at Populum?
Well, it would be, in a way it is, but, you know, it could go either way because we're not sure of the methodology.
Okay.
But I want to know whether or not something is true.
Okay.
And that's what's more important, isn't it? Not how many people like or dislike something.
I agree. That's
kind of what makes me an atheist.
I'm
comfortable being in the minority. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those people that requires a preponderance of evidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how would you know what evidence is?
We can test uh-huh. things. We can see if it's a replicable, you know, event. We have a process called empiricism, the scientific mm-hmm. method. It seems to work pretty good for curing diseases and getting mm-hmm. us off the planet and making us aware of incoming, asteroids.
Blowing up Christa McAuliffe?
Did we do that? Did we really do that?
I can
if we didn't, why don't we?
Through science, I can cut my head off. And I can have Kim Kardashian's ass. And that's through science. Science does that.
Oh, I love science.
Yeah, you can tell by the pixels.
She blinded me with science.
Yeah. Here's the point, though. You say you have all those things, but can you get there from an atheist point of view? Like, for instance, what I'm saying is this. Is it possible, given that everything is matter in motion and chemical reactions... Can you get from that, even if we throw in evolution and the laws of physics as background in there, can you get from that to actually saying this statement is true?
Atheists don't have a point of view that has anything to do with anything except for we don't believe
we're
God
not making
exists.
We're not making a statement that there is a God.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying from... Okay, even if you want... it gets even worse. If you don't have a background position... Then you can't say anything.
What do you mean by that?
Well, very simply. You have to have something to build on. For instance, you're talking about science, right?
Well, you have to have a hypothesis to test.
No. First, you have to have a way and a means of testing. Right now, you're talking about the scientific method, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the prism through which I view the world, and it seems to be the most successful... Yeah. Method of
it's the best method we have
so far. Understanding our universe.
Yeah, you realize the problem is that you can't prove the scientific method using the scientific method. So you need a background to get you to the scientific method.
I can assess
it. This is what Ken was getting
at
last time he was on the show. What you're talking about is you're talking. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
And I want to really try and be efficient with this because this is advanced stuff. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, what you're talking about is you're suggesting that. The scientific method is a philosophy, ostensibly. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, there is a huge area of philosophy called the philosophy of science, and that's how we get to do science. How do we get there? And there are certain elements that you have to have in order to do science.
Well, I'm an ignoramus. And here's
how
you're
not. Don't even say that. You're not.
Well, I'm not formally educated, and I don't pretend to know things that I don't. But here's how I understand the differences between science and philosophy, and even religion. Science is a methodology that's used to explain and understand the universe. You know, matter and existence and gravity and all that.
Yeah, that's
it. Philosophy deals with the value of humanity, the purpose of humanity, the purpose of action. You know, the meaning of love. What is the impact? What is the meaning of fear? You know, it's more about trying to coalesce the mental experience of the human being. And religion is a simplistic explanation for the universe prior to the development of the scientific method that had some folklore and great notions about, behavioral conduct that was intertwined within it. But it's essentially, I mean... Your religion's going to be almost completely defined by where you're born and where you're raised. Once science developed, we started finding that science takes root everywhere. It doesn't require that cultural indoctrination for it to succeed because it's verifiable and true.
Well, and that's the point. Is it verifiable and true?
The answer is yes.
Well, hang on a second. I just want to make this point. You're taking science and the scientific method on blind faith.
No, you're not.
No.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No. It has to prove it every time.
No. The idea is, unless you already know that science is a viable method, You can't know, I mean, that your results are viable.
There is a, and it's
right?
not blind faith.
No, would you believe, would you go with that?
Wait a minute, hold on. Brady, say that again.
Yeah.
Wait, after this break. So, hang on to that sentence. Okay. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch that clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio. So we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18.
Go vote.
Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery and get a piece of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to living human beings. Now go vote.
Podcastawards.com. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ken Sands, Maurice Northup, and Brady Linardos. I'm going to mess it up by the end of the show, I have a feeling.
Go right ahead. Everybody else has. Why shouldn't you?
I'm very intrigued by the question you asked, and I want to be involved in this. Go ahead and ask that question.
Well, it wasn't really a question. It was more of an observation that if... You, in order for you to say that your scientific method produces viable results, you have to know that the scientific method is able to produce viable results. And if you just start there in the middle with saying, I accept the scientific method, then all you're doing is saying, I have blind faith in the scientific. Then can you give me an argument to, because I'm just, Maurice is nodding his head no at this point.
Right.
I just want the audience to know that. So Maurice, can you give me an argument showing how you get to the scientific method being producing viable information without referencing that information? Because that's a circular argument. So you can't say, I know it is because the rocket goes to the moon.
Yes, I think I can make this is as an articulate an argument as I'm able to make.
Go ahead.
Very good.
We all operate in a certain degree of faith. Okay, I operate in a certain degree of faith that my five senses are a reflection of reality. I can see a certain degree of the light spectrum. I can hear a certain range of sound waves. I can feel certain things that come within proximity to me. But I'm not aware of X-rays. I'm not aware of gamma rays. I'm not aware of a lot of what exists in the universe that we've come to know exists in the universe. So I have faith that what I see and touch is some kind of reflection of reality. But in fact, because I have these limited senses, I'm only seeing certain facets of what is around me all the time. I mean, like Geordi LaForge from Star Trek, if he's got those, you know, he sees the world very differently because he has... a different because
he's black.
Because he's black. Because he's black. However, we know that we can if you push the ball that the ball moves, and this is a replicable event, and you do this all the time. Now, I have to reference that ball is there. I don't, my five senses tell me that it's there. I can see it. I can put it in my mouth. I can smell it. I can touch it. So, there's a certain degree of faith there that I'm starting from that point, but. My problem with that leap of, you have a limited perception of the universe and you really don't know if you're scientific ministry. People that fill in that unknown with God and specifically Christ. I mean, that's a huge leap from we don't know. And that to me is, balderdash.
Let me just point out a couple of things. First of all, you admitted that your belief in science is based on faith. And faith alone.
No, my perception, my I have faith that my limited senses are a perception of reality.
Yes, that's blind faith.
No, it's not blind faith.
Well, you have no reason.
Because there is some data coming in. I know that
there's data coming in.
There's data coming in. It's not blind faith. It's limited data.
The thing is,
but I can
the data that you have coming in,
yes.
You have no way of determining whether or not that is actually corresponding to an external moral truth.
We can test things without
Joseph Swam has a good example. He says, walking off the edge of a building is a good test. If he falls, then he can climb to the top again and attempt to replicate it. Would that be faith to believe it would happen again?
Well, okay. It's not addressing the question. And here's the idea. Let's put it this way. If we take just the elements of matter and motion, which I think we're all going to agree on that one, right?
Well, hang on. I'd like to say something real quick.
Okay.
You guys don't really want to posit anything besides God may or may not exist. Is that your position, or you don't know? You don't want to make a claim? Because here's why. Because you think matter exists, right? There's material out there?
Yes.
Do you think it's always existed? Do you think there's Big Bang it came from nowhere? What's your position on the material world?
I can't answer that question.
My position is I don't know.
Yeah, that's my
position.
I'm sure if there was a physicist in here, he might take a position. Well, we know because blah, 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 and he would start, throwing out some data because that's his field of study.
I've heard physicists make really impressive offer really impressive explanations of how the universe might have come
into
existence.
There are Christian physicists too who hold to a position that you need God to be the first cause. So so these are all.
Well, let's talk about that one.
Okay,
let's talk about that one.
Well,
First
cause, please, Ken. Remember first cause.
I'll remember first cause.
Go ahead, Brady.
Yeah. Well, the point I was getting at is this. If we have matter in motion, we have the laws of physics. We're going to throw in evolution. We're going to throw chemicals and chemical reactions, which is basically what's going on in our brains, right? How do you get from that to a statement that science gives us viable information?
I'm confused by your question, Brady. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
No. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to fill you in on what I'm hearing.
Please,
okay?
I appreciate that.
What I'm hearing is not unlike. What I'm hearing is, here's a bunch of complex things.
They're simple things.
They're not really. The chemical processes that you're citing are not really simple. There is a complex process that goes all the way down to quantum mechanics underneath which everything is on which everything is setting. So we're talking about a really complex set of concepts that you're talking about. And what you're doing is you're saying, here's a bunch of really, really complex scientific things. How can you use that to prove that science, I don't know if you're saying works, is accurate, is right? Is that what you're... Help me understand what you're saying.
Very good. And I appreciate that question, Emery. I understand what you're getting at there. You made it clear. The problem I'm getting at here is this. If we have all these material things, okay, how does chemical reactions get us to statements of truth?
Because they are observable and verifiable.
They're only observable and verifiable if you can get to a statement of truth.
Ken, what'd you say?
First of all, what he's saying is that if you've got to hold to some philosophical position that you came from somewhere. Where do you guys think you came from?
I don't know.
Stardust.
My mom.
Okay, I mean, your mom. Okay, but where did
and
she
I
come
don't,
from?
I don't know what put this the is stardust in motion.
Okay, so are you saying that matter's... let's say matter's always been. This, you know, we can...
Okay.
Matter's always
been. For
the
sake of argument? Sure.
You know, I'll tell you one I like.
Okay.
One I like that appeals to me a lot is the idea that there are multiverses and that black holes feed matter from one universe to another and vice versa. So matter is actually moving back and forth between multiple universes. That theory.
I think it's a hypothesis.
It can never be a theory because it can't be tested.
Not yet.
We get crushed down
to
nothing.
We don't have the data
to
confirm that as yet.
It's purely a statement of faith, and actually...
It's
not a statement of faith.
That's not accurate.
If you can't test it, what is it?
Well, it's a hypothesis.
Now I see what you're doing, Brady. I see very clearly what you're doing.
What am I doing?
Well, it seems to me that you're attempting to equate faith in God, Jesus, religion...
No.
...with faith in science... am I missing the point?
Yeah, no. I'm holding to kind of what Dawkins talks about. Faith is faith, whether it be in God or whether it be unjustified beliefs in.
I think you're trying to reduce the scientific method to the same degree of incredibility that religion enjoys.
No,
you can't do that. That is what you're trying to do, right?
That statement you just made just isn't. True.
Okay.
The incredibility of religion. I mean, just it doesn't follow that because some religions are false that they're all false. You can still have a true religion.
I get that. I have yet to hear of any religion that doesn't logically follow the smell test.
But it doesn't logically follow that because some are false, they're all false.
It doesn't logically follow that over 3,000 known religions throughout mankind. That only one of them is accurate?
Well, let's get back to what Brady's saying.
That's a valid question, right?
Well, let's pick the one that's correct.
Do you guys think that you guys are just physical?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, what else could there be? If there's no God.
I can see a day when we're able to communicate telepathically. I could see that
okay, but
possibly
that's
happening.
A separate issue as to whether you're just, that's
I'm
a separate issue as to whether you think you're just physical. Do you
no,
think
it's not. If we one day develop into beings that can communicate without physically connecting with one another via sound waves,
okay.
And we can connect with some sort of beta rays or zeta rays or chelator rays that we're unaware of today, then we wouldn't just be communicating in the physical way we think of now. So it's, I'm trying to answer honestly your question.
I hear you, but I'm just saying, are you physical? Is that all you are? Are you just a composite of physics, matter?
Are you asking me if I believe in the soul?
No, I'm just asking you if that's all you think you are. Are you just matter, physics, in causal relation with itself?
Probably.
Okay, so if that's the case, then your brain states are also in the same position. Your neurons,
yeah.
Your
my neural activity and the chemical activity.
It's all just
in my brain.
Reducible to physics and matter.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so now we come to a philosophical question, and it's the world of epistemology, Brady.
Kay. Let's go there, Ken.
We would say that the question is, how is it that you can say that the chemistry in your head,
yes,
in causal relation with itself, because you don't really have an eye. I know you we're talking right now, but you're like a causally closed system. You're just physics and matter in causal relation with itself. It's all physics.
Well, I'm influenced by outside stimuli.
And then those physical events in your head give rise to propositions, which meanings of words. Those physical states in your brain will look at the external world and make a judgment about that world.
Based upon the information I have available.
But no, there's no eye. You're just a chain of chemical events.
Okay. When I say I mean that particular collection, this particular skin bag.
Right. This configuration.
Yeah, this skin bag right here.
Yes, this configuration.
This bag of thinking guts.
You have imported a philosophical idea that the current state of physical states in your brain and how it's causally closed and how you can observe things, all a product of physics and matter and energy and motion. That's what you are. You're a composite of those things.
Yes.
Can actually know something. Now, my position is you can't get to knowledge as a strict materialist because that's what you're holding to. What you end up is a philosophical position called functionalism. What you end up is a function. You have a functional relationship with this external world.
Gotcha.
And so you you've got this. You're in the matrix, right? So the matrix like gave you the capacity to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And now you're doing it. So even your method of inquiry, your scientific method, induction, was given to you not by you, but by the material world.
Can I ask you a question? It's going to sound cheesy, but
important.
I'm being serious.
No, this is important. Okay. Here's why. Because now we have to say that that the chemistry and the way that the brain states are firing, it's all physics, and the eye you have is just physics, can actually know the external world. And basically boils down to this. Somehow matter begins to understand where it came from. Because without God, you have to believe that matter correctly recognizes that God doesn't exist, because that's what you are.
Wait. Repeat that last thing you said right there.
Yeah, because you're just material, and you came from the material world.
That whole section of sentence operates on the assumption that there is some sort of God to acknowledge.
No, not at all. I'm just saying,
can you repeat it so I'm
yes,
clear on it?
Given your worldview, that if all there is matter, then any proposition that you hold to as true, God does not exist, if that's your position.
My position is there's no evidence to believe in a God.
Or any other proposition.
Or even any other position, even evidence to believe in God.
There's not enough evidence for me to believe in God.
I'm just saying that you have no epistemic justification for any knowledge claim whatsoever.
Here's why.
Because you are just physics. You're just chemicals. You're chemistry.
How does that reduce my ability to observe?
Now you're telling me that physics can know something. I want you guys to realize that this is this is a very important philosophical
position.
Would it
blow your mind
position.
If I said you didn't have free will, man?
We're not talking about free will. We're not talking about free will. We're talking about that you're just chemicals and chemistry, and that's all you are. And apparently But you apparently think you know something, but your chemicals are telling...
I can't know anything unless your God exists, Ken?
No. I'm saying that you...
is what you're saying.
I'm saying that all you get is function.
Oh, no.
Function.
You can't
know anything.
What you did... The epistemological argument is classic, and we've all heard it. What you did was you simply stair-stepped in a Socratic method, and along the way made leaps that aren't accurate.
I'm going to ask you this real simple question. Show me how chemical events in your head give you the truth value of a proposition.
Then show me how religion does that.
Well, no, we're not doing that. We're going to go to that.
You're the one with the defensive position.
We're going to go to that.
We're
going to that as until we're happy to do that. But you have to answer it from your worldview.
Let's answer a skewed question.
It's not skewed at all. You got to answer the question. Show me how chemistry in your head gets you to the truth value of any proposition.
When you say, wait a minute, truth value. What the hell do you mean when you say truth value?
A statement is accurate.
Okay.
Okay. there's ice in your glass.
Mm-hmm. That's a statement, and you're saying that that statement is true.
It is
that's
true.
So that would be the truth value.
How did I determine that without God?
I don't have any idea.
Well, how did I do that?
Praise Jesus. You know that's
how
ice.
How did I do that?
You know, I brought some
snacks.
Am
I lying?
I brought some snacks with me here today. Would anybody like some red herring?
Thank
I got
you.
That.
It's the red herring argument.
Yeah. And I also have some.
I'm answering your question. You just asked me how my bag of skin can come to some sort of, what did you say?
Not just bag of skin.
Determination of truth value?
Yes, you're a bag of chemicals.
Yeah. My determination of truth value is that there's ice in your glass.
Right, but remember that.
What's
that?
I noticed how you started drinking it faster.
But you can't. But remember that everything you're doing right now is a function of matter, and you have to believe that matter will tell you the truth value of whether God exists or not.
No.
That's your import.
No.
That's what your philosophical import.
What you're trying to do desperately is you're trying
it's
to
no desperate
boil,
here. It's not desperation.
Desperate.
It's not
what
desperate.
What you're trying to do, Ken, is you're trying to desperately boil human existence down to nothing more than atoms, and then you're claiming that those atoms aren't capable of doing what we're actually doing right here in this room.
No,
I'm saying you can't just how many atoms are at work here.
You're up, Brady. You're up.
This isn't like 15 or 20.
Yeah, it's very simple. Is there anything else in this universe but atoms?
Yeah, dark matter. Well, I don't know. Is dark matter made of atoms?
There's lots of things in this universe.
Yeah, we don't know, actually.
I can't answer that question.
Yeah, can't answer that question.
Dark matter may not be made of
atoms. What's the nature of your question,
Brady? Yeah. You just said that all he's doing is trying to do a reduction down to atoms. What else is there, Emery?
That's, I don't know. Well, quarks and, you know, neutrinos.
Yeah, there are smaller
part of
kitty cats.
Okay, by atoms, I mean a physical reality
that
we call the universe.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Is there anything other than the physical realm we have around us? Whether you want to call that quarks, atoms, you know,
the honest answer to that is the human experience.
We're still looking.
In my opinion,
what is that? Is that anything else but atoms and matter in motion?
I think that the human experience is simply the mind communicating both with the outside world and itself.
Mm-hmm.
The brain is the place that we know this happens, and we're aware of that much, and that the mind is communicating to itself and with others, and therefore we're having an actual conscious experience. Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, now is that mind matter in motion, or is it something else?
Matter in motion.
It
says matter in motion. This is Maurice. Emery, is it just matter? Is your mind matter in motion? Chemical reactions inside of as he said, this bag of chemistry?
That is exactly how it works.
Okay, then where is Ken wrong?
Where Ken is wrong is he suggests.
That's all he said. You agreed with him.
He's saying that. I'm having a hard time understanding what he's saying. His position is that we are making. That we somehow. Our bodies acknowledge that God doesn't exist. Please articulate it again.
I'm trying to say that we're if given those conditions that if all is matter, this isn't about about theism. I'm not positing theism right now. I'm just talking about materialism. If all there is matter, then everything you're doing right now is a function of matter. Everything, including induction, which is what science is. Induction was given to you by matter. You didn't invent induction.
We discovered induction.
Induction. We reasoned it. There's no we. You're just a bag of chemicals.
I say we,
there's no we.
Species. When I say
there's
we,
no, we.
Yeah,
no but we can.
A
no,
we.
No. Hold on. I'm gonna address that. I say we because we have the a wonderful ability as a species to pass information on to other members of our species through written language, and it's an incredible ability that we've developed as
which
a species.
Which is all reducible
so now,
to physics.
Hold on. Well, yeah. But it's a huge leap in our ability to communicate and share information, and it's remarkable that we can do that. But we test the environment. If we evolved as a species, we develop more and more sensitive eyes. Our bodies change to fit with climate and whatnot. And over the course of millions of years, we've evolved. We communicate. We pass our knowledge down to each other through language. But these things that are verifiably true are always verifiably true. They never fail. They're consistent. So the idea that this consistency is somehow not trustworthy because we're limited as skin bags doesn't respect the consistency of those truths. These truths have been tested before our lifetime, during our lifetime, and after our lifetime.
And don't miss what
he's
saying. He said something that could be misinterpreted. I want to make sure we're clear on this. He's not saying that everything that we're aware of is completely accurate either. we're open to the idea that there are things that we don't understand accurately and that change as we get more information, more data. So I want to come back to we have to do a break, but I want to come back to this and let him finish his diatribe, and then let me respond. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Good news, everybody!
Go vote.
Check out our premium service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 a year. We also have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. We already have. Many of you have given more than $10, and we can't thank you enough. We've been very, very generous because you've been generous. So, be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe.
And vote.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense. You can believe him. We're talking with Ken Sands, Maurice Northup, and Brady Leonardo's. So finish your thought, because I interrupted you.
All right. Well, I was pretty...
You see my point, though.
No,
my
point is that, you know, it's unfair to say that our knowledge is limited because it's all this internal experience. It's more than just our internal experience. It's the internal experience of our entire species and our shared collective knowledge, which has been tested and proven. I mean, you know, we build buildings, we build airplanes on these truths that we've
function.
Well, then how come planes aren't falling out of the sky?
Well, because it functions.
What's the difference?
It functions because it's true.
Wait.
No. There's a distinction between something functioning, which is your computer functions, right?
Yeah.
Is true.
Okay. Well, do you guys think there's such a thing as truth, or what do you guys think about that? Is there such a thing as truth?
Yes. Although I think there's a lot of subjectivity when it comes to truth.
I get that. Tell me something that is true.
I'm frustrated by you. Deeply and disturbingly
I'm not frustrated by you, Emery.
You are too.
I love you, man.
I love
awesome,
you too.
Dude.
I love
no,
you
I think
too.
We're all having respect, but we are frustrated.
Do we sing Kumbaya now? Is that when we do the Kumbaya? We planned that, didn't we? Okay.
That's out of my list now. I don't sit around any campfires and sing songs.
All I'm saying is that you end up with a functional relationship with matter. Your matter, the external world's matter. Your propositions, the meanings of all your words, are simply a function of physics. The meanings of your words are simply a function of physics.
The definitions
and
are
matter
functions
and
of linguistics.
Chemistry. Your words are just reducible to physical events in your head.
No, they're not.
No.
Yes, there is.
Words,
his really?
Work, yeah, absolutely.
What else is there?
We used to live together. This guy and I. And when we lived together up in Santa...
Stop it. He didn't cuddle for me.
Up in Santa Clarita when we lived together, both of us said very, very important things to one another that both of us carried through our lives. Both of us... Our lives were altered in quite frankly, in really
but
nice
those
ways.
Words are, the meanings of those things are just reducible to chemical states in your head. And
no, they're not.
Well, what are they then? What else is there?
Human experience.
It's just chemicals.
No, it's not just chemicals.
It's chemicals,
what
buddy.
What else exists?
The chemicals are what allow us
to
interact with
you say
one
human
another.
Experience. You're just what you're really saying is you're a chemical bag, and so is he, and your chemistry starts, chemicals
we're
start
doing
stuff.
We're more special than that, though.
Well, why?
I don't know. I'm trying to understand, Ken, why you are trying to reduce the human experience down to something as cold, because that's the language
that's all you've got.
It's not all I have.
That's all you've got, aren't atheists?
No, it isn't.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you,
thank you
that it's all reducible, but I'm not going to agree with you that it's somehow irrelevant or meaningless. That's amazing. The two bags of chemicals looking at the world in different ways with completely different backgrounds and different educations and different influences that have come to shape those two bags of chemicals come together, share ideas, share their own histories, their own things that they've known, and then continue to collaborate on new things that will impact skin bags we may never meet in our entire lives.
Absolutely.
This podcast may be listened to by someone that lives, you know, 1,000 years from now. It may be part of some archaeological discovery. That is amazing. That's amazing. And it's not, you know, that's all you are. You're just a bag of chemicals.
Pretty fucking amazing bag
of chemicals. Yeah.
Not really. Go ahead, Brady. You're okay.
Why not really, Ken? I'm sorry, Brady. Why not really?
Well, Brady,
it's your show.
No, it is my show. I want you to answer that question, Ken.
Because if your thoughts and everything that we're doing right now is just a function of physics, why do you trust chemistry to give you the truth value of whether God exists or not?
Why do you trust so chemistry?
We don't.
I trust evidence.
Of course you do. No. Evidence is a function of the chemistry in your head. Every thought that you're thinking, every idea that you posit, every evidential interpretation is a function of chemistry.
Evidence is what the chemistry in my brain reasons about.
But you get to function. All I'm saying is you get to function. You don't get to truth. You don't get to truth. Truth belongs to our side.
You can't prove it every time.
Science just gets you repeated.
Faith belongs in your
science,
not truth.
Science
faith.
Gets you repeated functions. That doesn't tell you whether God exists or not. The hard sciences have nothing to do with whether God exists or not.
No one is trying to argue that.
You presuppose that God doesn't exist, and then you do science and say, look, God doesn't exist.
I presuppose that there's not enough evidence for me to accept that notion.
Right, but the eye is a bag of chemicals, and recognizing yourself as a bag of chemicals,
can see these chemicals. We're right here.
I want you to say that in your worldview, all you are is matter.
Showing your fucking hand, my friend. You just want us
That. Should I put it down? Right? I don't want to show anybody that hand.
You just want us to say, I'm sorry, Ken. You can come on my show anytime you'd like and anytime you're available because I enjoy these. I really enjoy these debates, and I disagree with you wholeheartedly. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to strawman us into being the thing that you think we are.
Let me finish this thought. Okay, go ahead.
You're trying to mold us into this thing that you think we are because of the way we think, because of the way you think think.
Not at all.
You just did it.
Not at all.
I'm trying to get you to.
No,
you
you're importing
what?
That. That's not true. That's just not true.
You just said it.
Are you telling me what I'm thinking?
You're never going to get me. You just said it.
It's not true. You're just matter.
Kyle
You're
asks,
just material. I'm not importing that. That's your position.
Kyle Delaney asks, what do you guys...
why the word just?
What you guys think science is. What is it?
Well, okay, boy.
Should I take that?
Go ahead, Brady.
Take it. Brady.
No, we believe in science.
What is it?
What is it?
Of matter haters over there, man.
Okay.
I need my rubber thumb. I need my rubber thumb immediately.
Get the rubber thumb. Can we get some other rubber parts in here, too?
Uh-oh.
Brady.
What? I was talking about a foot.
Go to the bedroom. Bring the man some rubber.
Oh, thank you, Everett.
He may be a Christian, but he knows his rubber. All right, go ahead.
What were we saying?
What is science?
Oh, science. No. We think that science can render some true statements. The problem is not if science renders true statements or not. The problem is how do you get to know that science is rendering true statements?
And you're saying, if I got it right, you're saying that since, from our perspective, atheists, non-believers who don't have any God, you're saying that because our perspective is that everything is, help me out and make sure I'm right here, that everything that we do, think, feel, experience, and are can be boiled down to these basic elements, just atoms, no...
Chemical reactions.
Mm-hmm. Chemical reactions. Yeah. No outside influence from some...
No.
Right?
No. The chemical reactions that are occurring to you have influence from outside, but it's just our chemical reaction and the chemical reaction. Everything is just chemical reactions from a materialist point of view.
Okay, and if that's our perspective, okay,
right. You can't get from A to B.
That's basically it.
What do you think is happening physically? Do you guys think that there's chemical reactions happening inside of you?
Sure. No problem with that. You believe you have a functioning brain
and all that?
Yeah. It just has to do with getting to the idea of
so what's
something
different
is
about
true.
What they're
what
saying,
you know about your
Maurice,
body.
Is that without God, you can't know if there's any truth or not. That's what they're saying. Put it your way.
Okay. I would say that given the things we've been talking about, the matter in motion, chemical reactions, evolution, laws of physics,
okay,
given all that, there is no materialistic view of reality that can get you to truth, to a true statement. Okay. Now,
what is an example of a true statement that
we're
limited in being able to perceive?
Well, it has to do with the process from getting to A to B. There's no place to get from A to B.
In other words, he's saying you can stumble onto a true statement, but you can't know it's true. Do I have this right?
Emery, you are a genius.
Dude, you nailed it.
It took us 40 goddamn minutes for me to get there. Yeah. We'll be right back after this, and we're going to continue with Brady. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. No, we're not. Why is that in there?
I didn't do it.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist and available on the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout-out to a few of our listeners. Wendy Hughes, Mark Nowitzki, Philip May, Herbert Reagan,
Scott Fitzgerald, Kyle Delaney, they're acting crazy over here.
I know, with the thumb.
Loving Learning 64, which is Mom. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Jennifer Jones, Don DiNatale, Cameron Winters, and Joseph Swam. These were the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Keep your posting. We love seeing all your delicious content.
PodcastAward.com. And awards?
PodcastAwards.com.
They're in a time warp.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ken Sands, Maurice Northup, and Brady Lenardos. One of us in that list is just a bag of skin and bones. Now, here's...
Who is it?
Okay. So what you're saying is we can't know the truth if there isn't...
Well, you can't know the truth if there is a truth to know.
If there's a truth to know,
you can't know it.
Yeah. If all we are is a result of a chemical of a chemical reaction.
So exactly.
Chemicals do not know things.
Uh-huh.
Right? Would you agree with that? Chemicals do not know things.
So I think that's a retarded sentence.
Did you say retarded?
I think that's a retarded sentence.
Okay.
Chemicals can't know things, in my opinion, is one of the silliest things I've heard this month.
Okay. Well, go ahead, please.
When you say chemicals can't know things,
right?
That's like, in my opinion, that's like saying, let me get this right. Bear with me. I'm going to get this. Okay. That's like saying blue dye can't be a shirt.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
That's exactly the same thing. But blue dye is something that can go into something else to make a blue shirt.
Yeah, but blue dye is not the shirt.
No, it's not.
Okay, well then we agree.
No, no, we don't agree.
We don't agree. I thought we agreed.
No, no, no. We don't agree on the bigger meaning
retarded,
of what
Brady.
You're saying. No, he's not retarded.
I'm retarded. Just, I guess so.
We're not just a bag of random chemicals. We're a bag of very specific genes that are, you know, and twisted into a helix that comprises our DNA.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
No, yes, it does. It obviously matters.
No, it doesn't.
It's a different. Well, you know, that's...
Okay, and that's what we're trying
little
to
get Johnny was a
Maurice.
Chemist, but if little Johnny is no more. For what he thought was H2O was really H2SO4. Very fucking different.
If there's no God,
yes,
then what we're doing here, interacting, sharing ideas, setting around a home that was made from scientific processes as a result of scientific processes that will be better in another 100 years because they'll make it better. That's how science works.
Yep.
If there's no God, then just for discussion's sake, sure. I ask both of you who believe there is one.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no God, what is your perspective of mankind and existence and the world and this moment and our ability to think, communicate, share ideas? As Maurice was saying, write things down, pass them on. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's a good question, Imre. I'm glad you asked that question. Can't answer that one.
Oh, I can't. Thank you. The retard passes it over to me.
No, I was about to say, that proves he's not retarded. That was brilliant.
That's true. He's not a retard. He's a smart man.
And can I be clear? You know I'm not calling you retarded.
No, no. Okay, I understand that, my brother.
You're a guest in my home, and I don't want you to feel
that. No, I don't at all.
Go ahead, Ken.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if we're just reducible to chemistry and matter and motion, and our brain states are just a function of physics, then even our method of inquiry to do science is a function of material properties given to us by the material world. We certainly didn't invent this stuff. We didn't create it. We don't have autonomy. We are not an autonomous being. We are totally contingent on the physical world that gave us everything that we're doing right now. The physical world gave us everything. So we don't have autonomy at all. We are merely functioning the way the physical world designed us to function. You just
made a leap I don't agree with.
Well, maybe didn't design. It's just I'm a function of antecedent conditions in the physical world. The way I operate, the way I observe, the way I interpret the world, the way I build my house is all product of antecedent conditions going back in the physical world. All my propositions are reduced to physics, all the meanings of my words, all my say God is here or not here or, you know, in some other universe are just functions of matter. Propositions don't have a real objective meaning. They have a functional meaning based solely on physics and matter. In that sense, what do we know? What we end up, I believe, is with functionalism, where I can make a house, I can do this stuff, but my propositions are not objectively true. They're just a function of matter because that's all I am.
How does believing in a God change that?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Brady, you're up.
Okay, thanks for asking.
Tag.
Oh, right here into the microphone.
Thank
please.
You. Thank you, Brady. Okay.
What was your question again?
I was sleeping.
How does okay? Now you acknowledge that you are a okay, collection of chemical right. reactions. You acknowledge
no, no. We're more than that. We're more than that.
Right.
But, okay. So how does yeah. believing Here, in a God? How does my decision or to make that leap of faith? I'm going to acknowledge some sort of God. How right. does that change anything?
And that is an excellent question. It has to do with worldviews and comparisons of worldviews. In a how do I put it? An atheistic worldview by necessity. Includes an element called unintentionalism. That means that nothing is intended to be what it is. It is all unintended. Because if it was intended, there'd have to be a intender.
Well, we don't have enough. Our position would be we don't have enough evidence to yeah. support that it's an intended.
No, universe. No, I'm not. I'm just. I didn't say that. I just said that given any
well, no,
atheistic
no, you were articulating what you believe the atheistic position to be.
Right.
I was there well, if it is for me.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying if an atheistic position is true, there is no intender.
But it's not a matter of our position being true. Our position isn't a statement of it's not a statement, it's not an assertion.
No, I didn't
it's
say
it's a
belief.
It's a lack of belief. It's a lack of belief. Yeah, it's
no,
saying
I'm not going
not
there at all. I'm not going there at all. I'm okay. not talking about your personal psychology here.
No, I'm talking about the definition of atheism.
Okay.
Go on. Go
we
on,
really
Brady.
Want to do that? Right, okay.
Yeah, no.
I'll be happy to do that one next. Okay.
All right, well, that's
okay.
All right. We'll continue.
Here's what. Given any atheistic worldview, there's unintentionalism, which means that everything is unintended. Therefore, if you do know something, it's not an intentional thing. It's an unintended thing. Just like every atom or every particle going together is unintended.
See, that conclusion to me seems to be a leap.
Necessary?
No. Why would that be necessary?
Well, if everything is unintended, then any conclusion would be unintended because everything is unintended.
No, the minute we are having a conscious experience, both with each other and ourselves, intention exists.
Intention.
I disagree with you. I
mean, so where what is the mechanism for getting from unintention to intention? Can you show me that mechanism?
Okay, the mechanism would be if I intend to solve a
Thank
math
you. That's
problem.
A correct
you
answer,
can't.
Emery.
Right. No, you can't.
Exactly. So that is a leap
Go
of
ahead.
Faith.
It's not a leap of faith. It is it's certainly a philosophical position. It's not a leap of faith. I will tell you.
Would you go with a unjustified belief?
No, there's justification for my belief.
Okay, well, give me the justification. You just
human,
said you
human,
didn't have any
human agreement. Human agreement.
Now that is ad populum.
That's ad populum.
Yeah, that's ad populum.
It's when I say human. When I say human,
Brady, what exactly
yeah,
is
yeah,
the ad populum?
Yeah, religion never
fallacy.
Uses ad populum as its argument.
Right.
So far, we haven't committed
you know
fallacy.
What?
For the audience.
My apologies. I'm sorry. I want to apologize for stooping to your level, okay. the religious level. I didn't mean.
Yeah,
to.
Using
Ooh,
logic.
There's ad hominem now.
Yeah, there's ad hominem.
It's a last bastion.
We got ad populum.
We've got ad hominem and ad populum
on the show where reason reigns supreme.
Uh-huh. I don't like that ad hominem. He's actually looking at my ass.
So ad populum just means that you go to the gallery, to the consensus, and you say, because X number of people believe it, therefore it's true. Let me point out that more funny. People believe in a God than do not believe in a God, so ad populum is not going to really work for you here.
Yeah. Well, no. First of all, I'm not saying just because a lot of people believe it.
Right. Let's throw that out.
You're missing what I was trying to suggest. And
okay,
what I was
please.
Trying to suggest is that the human experience... When you look historically at human experience, every single attempt to explain the unexplainable with a creator has been usurped by another one. And that process, really? Are we out of time? We'll be right back after this. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our
trick?
Premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank our guests, Ken Sands, Maurice Northup, and Brady Linardos. Now, don't go anywhere, guys. We've got another half hour. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and new dissident, Ray.
Damn it.
Why is that
why
on
is
here?
There in
why
here?
Are you saying that?
Because we're not with that.
Yeah, we left those guys. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Human beings.
And we'll be talking about...
If I knew that, I'd be God.
All right. This has been the free version of episode 91. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph, who puts the wham in swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron, who puts the win in winters. Go vote.
I labored over that one. I almost just had in winters, which I thought would be funny.
It's good.
Anything to plug before we wrap up, guys?
I'd like to plug Ken.
I think he hit her.
Wonderful.
And I have a 45 on me. So
Reason Together.org.
There you go.
There you go.
And in the last 30 minutes, let's talk about we'll talk about gays. Let's see what we have to say. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance of real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on Nudist.
No, you haven't.
Oh, shit! Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Oh, we have to take that out. Woohoo!